power. You can't get in with that kind of righteousness under a law, that kind of righteousness under pressure. In other words, you cannot force yourself to behave. He wants you to do it with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Otherwise, you don't get in. In other words, you have to really want this yourself from the heart, not just want it on the outside to deceive or trick other people. So people that force themselves to be good, to behave, to be nice, they'll never make it. I want you to know, that's not bad news. That's just the truth. That's not bad news. That's just the truth. Is many people who imagine they're going to be acceptable are not, because they are not like a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, chair 7. And so you have to then, I guess you can't really see these. I wish we had room on the platform to put them up. But anyway, you all memorize them, or you can come down if you want. Look at them. Chair 1 and 2, that's sinner. Sinner is when you're nasty and bad and selfish and only care for yourself, and you're shallow and you're vain and you're worthless and so on. That's this chair, okay? Is anybody here in this chair? Monty, thank you. That's your birthday. On your birthday, you'd think at least on your birthday. Okay, so a sinner, oh, you think you can get them up? That'd be good. Can we have the lights on too so that people can see that? Can you all see that? All right. So the reason to put these chairs up is not in the Bible. It's just simply this is how the Bible is talking. There could be 10 chairs, 12 chairs. I could have tons of chairs. But just to make it simple, that the repentance has to be by itself. Yeah, these chairs have to be by themselves. Now, there's really no difference between chair 1 and 2. Or, let me put it more accurately, there is a difference, and that is that chair 1 is real. Everybody's born in sin. Everybody's born that way. God did not make you that way. You chose that. And so when a little child comes out, they're naturally going to be thinking only of themselves. You don't have to teach them to be evil. They just will do it on their own. They will be totally not lovers. And what God wants is a different kind of righteousness than natural human righteousness. He will not accept even Jewish kind of force yourself against your heart, against your inner being. Because out of the heart cometh murder, adultery, you know, evil, bitterness, etc. So everybody by nature that you know, but they're not that way by nature. You have actually chosen that. God did not create that. He created you, and then he gave you the choice. Do you want to go my way or another way? And everybody, by God's knowledge, chose to be selfish. Everybody chose to care for themselves. Little kids, they have to be taught not to go that way. But if you just teach them outwardly, they're still that way. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So even though, you know, we're behaving well, just to get, you can't even be in society if you don't behave well. They'll put you away or kill you. I mean, you're not gonna last over 30. If you were just rebellious and you just always were selfish and so on, you couldn't be in a family, you couldn't go to school, you couldn't walk on the streets because people don't like that, so they put you away or do away with you. So everybody is a hypocrite superficially. The danger comes when you actually think you're good because you behave good. The danger comes because you think that if I behave, I'm acceptable. Not to God. He doesn't want you to decide what good and evil is. He'll tell you what good and evil is. Good is actually evil to God if you did it. Evil is actually good to God if you confess it. I am evil. All my thoughts, all my feelings, all my emotions are evil, even when they look good. Man in his best states altogether, vanity. All your righteousness, filthy rag in the eyes of God. So God gets to decide. He's the parent. He's the one. You can't tell him how to think. He decides that good people are not good. And he decides that bad people are not bad. How does he do it? By the bad people who admit that they're bad to God and confess it because of the hope that's in Jesus, those he accounts as righteous. That's a different kind of righteousness than human or Jewish under the law righteousness, or anybody behaving morally or legalistically or on the outside. It doesn't count it. Now, people don't like me to say it, and even if you agree with me that it's in the Bible, if it weren't in the Bible, you wouldn't know it. There's no way you could know that God wouldn't accept good as good. That's why he doesn't want you to eat of that tree. Everybody is eating of that tree. He put the tree in the middle of the garden so that everybody could walk by it until they found out that they actually, even if they didn't eat the apple, they wanted to. And so even before I ate it, I wanted to eat it. Otherwise, I would never have eaten it. If I thought it was poison, I wouldn't have taken it. But it looked good, Eve said. It looked good. You know, she just looked at it and said, you know, I don't see any difference. And I got a brain. I got emotions. I got desires. I'd like to eat one of those apples. I know you can't. You're not supposed to. Shouldn't do it. How many know that every little kid thinks through that? You don't need to be Adam and Eve. Everybody repeats that little story. Is, I know my mother said not to eat that piece of cake on the table because it's for a party tonight. I heard that. But yet, when mother, and this actually happened to us, when mother goes to serve that piece of cake, the back part of the cake has been eaten out. But it wasn't eaten out, you know, like a big, it was just little bits, you know. And so Kara would take that cake, turn it around, take a little bit, and then put it back. And then she'd want another little, so she'd turn it around again and take a little more. And she'd eaten all the back side off, but little by little. So it's not a sin if you do it little by little. It's certainly not just like eating it like that. I mean, you know that when you sin, the first few times you're reluctant to be open. And then she hid it so you couldn't see it. And of course, because she couldn't see it, because she's reaching up like this, you know, she can't see it. Puts it back. And she can't see it, so of course mom and dad can't see it. Just like God. God can't see through your fig leaves. So after they had eaten it and their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked, they sewed for themselves a work. They worked. They actually made their first factory. There they are, manufacturing something to cover their guilt. So most of life, if not all of life, is guilt reduction. I did wrong, so I'm going to cover it up. Cover up. And so most of what we do in life is we don't eliminate the guilt, we just try to mitigate it. We try to lessen it. We try to, it's a terrible thing to be guilty and then to feel it. You know, like it can get at you and make you not sleep at night, you know, because you're thinking I'm going to get caught. How many little kids think that? They really do. And they're hoping they don't. So when you ask, you come into the kitchen and you see that the cake's been eaten, and you say to the child, who ate this? Did one of you kids eat this? No. And they will just lie, deliberately lie to the parent that loves them. They will deliberately lie. You've never done that. She's hesitating. Okay. So, but they will just deliberately lie, knowing that they were guilty and even felt guilty, especially then when the parent is questioning them. That's the way God is. When he comes to question them, did God kill them? The day you eat of it, you'll die. Did God kill them? No. He reinvented the word to mean hope when it could have meant death. Now, it did mean death the day you eat of it, and he just changed the definition to 1,000 years. But he also might have meant something else. He might have meant one day, the day that Jesus died on the cross. The day you eat of it, you will die. So Jesus died for you, in your place, in your, be another meaning of it. As a matter of fact, it is. So it can mean a 24-hour day. It can mean anything. But Jesus, in fact, fulfilled that, dying for you, and said, that's all right. So you ate of it, I paid. You're off. Now, does God have the right to do that? Does God have the right to change the definition that I thought with my brain that good was this and bad was that? Does he have the right to say, don't eat of that tree, don't figure out what right and wrong is, ask me, check with me, because I'm going to redefine righteousness not to mean under my left hand, behave yourself and do what I say from the heart. I want you to love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. That's in the Bible. That's in the Old Testament. But I can change it to say this, that Jesus, when he dies on the cross, will pay for everybody, for God so loved the world, who has ever sinned, ever thought a sin that didn't do it, but thought it, whoever just felt envy, whoever just simply desired to get vengeance. If that's the case, Jesus, you die for all of that. So that feelings and thoughts, desires and idolatry and adultery and injustice and all of that, that's part of that tree. Don't you figure out what that means, because you don't know good and evil. I know it. And I reserve to myself the right to eat of this tree, and you're not going to eat of my tree. You do not have the right to be me. I could give it to you, but you can't take it. You can't go and get it, certainly not under the law. So the law was given not so you'd behave. The law was given not so you'd behave. The law was given not so you'd behave. In other words, the law was never given for someone to do it. No law was ever given by God that you would do. I'm going to say it again. No law was ever given by God. Attached to that law, a punishment. That would be a real law, a law that has teeth in it. The day you eat of it, you will die. The die is the teeth to it. So that's why government has laws that you are to follow, and if you don't, they force you. They apply the power. They use public power to punish you, not as a personal thing, but just because you broke the society's laws or God's laws or any kind of law. But there's another way you could redefine law, and it could actually mean the gospel. You could mean by the law, not the law of sin and death. That would be a real law. Here's the law: don't sin, you won't die. But of course, everybody would sin, and he knew they would sin, because he knows everything. So why would he put the tree in the middle of the garden so that everybody walked by it every day and think to themselves, my God, what is wrong with that tree? Nothing. As a matter of fact, that tree looks good. I guess that's God's forbidden tree, but I think I'd like to eat a little bit of it. I'm going to turn that tree like this, take a little bit, not going to eat it all, turn it back so God can't see it, and he won't notice that I ate of it. But God seeth. He actually can see under it, above it, around it, inside it. How many know that God knows everything? And he knew that she would eat of it sooner or later. Thank God Adam didn't do it. Eve ate of that tree. Adam was such an idiot that when she just said, here, you take some too, and he took it. You know, he didn't even think about it. Didn't have any guilt about it or anything. Just my wife said it. He said, why did you listen to your wife? There's your sin. I thought that was the right thing to do. Well, you don't get to decide right and wrong. I said, don't eat of it or you'll die. Didn't I not say that to you before she was even in the picture? But when you gave her to me, that was your fault. The woman thou gavest to me. That, you see, you should have thought of that, God. So I'm not really saying I'm blaming you, but it is kind of your fault, kind of. So how many know that both Adam and Eve argued with God, lied right to him as though he were stupid, as though he himself were like them, evil, deceptive. So he said, the woman thou gavest me, and she said, the snake deceived me. I wouldn't have done it otherwise. I'm serious. I would not have done it, but he deceived me. So they both were forced. They had a reason. But did you know that you sin for no reason at all? Jesus said they hated me without a cause. In other words, when you do wrong, you just do wrong. You don't need a reason. You don't need a justification. You don't need to explain it. You don't need to talk. Well, wait, before you spank me, let me say something. And so people love to have their day in court where they get to explain themselves. I may have done it. I'm not saying I did, but I may have done that. But let me tell you something, how I grew up. Or let me tell you something about, you know, what was going on. A demon actually got a hold of me. I mean, it really was. It was a demon. I didn't do it. The demon just said, do it, and okay, I did it, but I didn't do it, really. I would have to say the demon did it. I was forced. You see how we like to use necessity so that we're not guilty. So everything we do is to remove guilt. All right, is everybody with me so far? So that's why chair one is the only chair that's up there for the natural man. And the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate, at the narrow gate. That is the Broadway. That's the Broadway. Now, do you think when people came up with the idea of Broadway, they weren't thinking of that scripture? Broadway Baptist over here. So that's why we didn't locate there. So you see, the Baptists are in trouble, especially that church. So when you use the word Broadway, that means not through the narrowness of Jesus. We're not going to depend upon Jesus. We're not going to be so narrow, so restricted, that we have to do what Jesus says. No. They wanted to do what they felt, what they thought. They wanted to be deciders of good and evil. Why? Because then I'm like God. You remember the devil said that to Eve? You'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. Ah, that's the great sin. There is no other. There is no other. I'm going to replace God. I'm going to be God. Even if there is a God, I want to also be equal to him. And if there isn't one, I want to be one anyway. I just like the concept. I love the idea of it. How many love to make your own decisions? Little babies don't. They don't get to. They want to. They're frustrated. They want to, you know, run like the other kids are running. But they can't. They just have to wait. But that's all right. They're saving up until they can get around. And when they do, they make up for those months that they only wanted to do it but weren't able to do what they wanted to do. But they make up for lost time quickly. So when we came in and Kara was standing there wiping the thing off of her mouth, it's like, who ate this? And it's so weird the way they ate this, you know. And she would not say she did. She did not want to confess that she did it. How many know that when you're caught on something and there's no way out, you can tell you're guilty, that we come up with stories. We make up stories like, well, I don't think it's that bad. That's an interesting story. But you know, you don't get to decide. I only had one cigarette. It was just one. I didn't take five like he did. Okay, how many notice that we are brilliant? Can you see how brilliant man is that to come up with words that will actually save me when only Jesus Christ is the Word of God that can save you? But we come up with our own words, our own thoughts, our own emotions, our own desires, our own imaginations. We are clever at hiding our own sin, not just from God, who sees everything, not just from other people who are so busy with their own sin they don't see mine, but also from ourselves so we don't know that we sinned. What? I didn't do that. I remember another one of our children, I won't say which one, because these tapes go, they'll get these tapes. But she knoweth. I mean, they know. I had a rule. Like God, I had a rule. Don't eat candy. Judy, did you know that was the one? Yeah. Don't eat candy. Your teeth will rot out and so on. I didn't need to say that, but just don't eat candy. That's Dad's rule. And so since that was my rule, that meant that's bad. That's not good. Don't do that. One day, years later, I went into this person's bedroom. And I saw something on the bed, and so I leaned down to get that something, which interested me. And I heard crinkle, crinkle, crinkle. There's something under this mattress, and I lift the mattress up, and there's like 150 candy wrappers. But they're hidden. You can see that they're hidden. So when you'd walk into the room, you would not notice that. But because I hadn't to lean down to get this other thing that I saw there, I noticed that. So I took one of them and put them in my pocket, just one of them. And so when that person came home, because that was that person's room, when that person came home, who knew the law, how many know the law is not to do the law? You just know it. But to know what's right doesn't mean you'll do what's right. She knew that was wrong. And that's why she put them under the mattress where you could never see them. Even if she'd have put them in the garbage, Mom is so good at catching the kids. Awesome. Peg, wherever you are in here, She is awesome. I commend her. Incredible. She, if there's a law given, she will make sure you do that law. So anyway, she would find, this is literal. This actually happened. She'll find a wrapper at the bottom of the garbage bag. She is that good. I don't know why. She is always right. Incredible. First of all, you can't know that there's a wrapper there. I know there is. No, you don't. And second of all, it would take you, 20 minutes to go through that whole thing. I'm going to do it. And so she's going to find it, and then she finds it. And then the next thought is punishment. Maybe a little bit of confrontation. But I'm the opposite. I don't do it that way. So I put it in my pocket, and then when that guilty person walked in, I said to them, "Person, have you done anything wrong?" That is a broad question. Did you see that? I want to give plenty of room for, did you do anything wicked or sinful or bad? No. You see that? No, I can't think of anything. Okay, that's good. Thank you. I just was, wanting to see if you're doing good. So I didn't let on that I'm after something, right? I've got the evidence in my pocket. So then I come again. I said, whoa, wait. I'm just talking about doing something you're not supposed to do. No. Okay. And then she wasn't catching on, so I decided to try something else. I said, let me give you a hint, because I actually believe you have. Now it's getting scarier. But she'll have a good chance to repent before I, punish. So I said, something like eating candy or something like that. Now that's pretty warm. That's a pretty warm one. So, no, haven't done that, because that's one of your laws, Dad. Now she's giving away the whole thing. She knows that's a law. Guilty as all get out. I want to catch her. But I would like to confess, because I'm getting closer and closer. I say, as a matter of fact, I have the evidence of a candy being eaten, and I have the wrapper in my pocket. But I don't crinkle it or anything. I just say that. So I believe you've eaten a piece. No, I haven't. Just flat out lie. Now this is an older child. This is not a young child. I say to her, to help her again to confess, that there'll be a great punishment tied to that. Of course. So wouldn't it be better if you just confessed? I didn't do it, Dad. So now I'm in the wrong. She's in the right. She's innocent. I'm guilty. You see that? You're accusing me of something that's not true. Mm-hmm. Parents will do that. And so I go, it's in my hand. There's something in my hand. And it's evidence. And I know where there's more. Would you like to confess now? Dad, I didn't do it. I don't know who put that there. Whatever you're talking about. Now it's really clear to me that not only do I know that person was guilty, they know that I know. But then I pull it out. There it is. Do you recognize that? Is this your gun? Does this look like the knife you used? It's like, absolutely, Dad, I swear I did not do that. Somebody else did that. So now that's really indicting our, don't you see how God's going to have fun judgment day? Because he's going to be the same. What I'm telling you is how God operates. And so then I say, let's go back into your bedroom and look under your mattress and see if that's where I think I got that. Now that would be the time to come clean. But instead, she comes up with a story. So isn't it clever how good we are at not wanting to be guilty about anything when we're guilty about everything before God? We have never done what he wanted, what he created us to do. We've always broken all his laws. Laws don't work. Why? Because you have to force yourself to keep it because your heart's not in it. She wanted the candy. That's why she ate it. She just wanted to. Do y'all see that? That's your ultimate story is, I wanted to. Why did you do it? I wanted to rebel against you because I didn't trust you and I didn't like you and so I ate it. That would be the truth. Do y'all see that? But that's not what we're going to say. I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say I need a spanking. I don't want to do that. Now, she had a choice, and I gave her the choice. We did go back. We did look under. And yeah, sure enough, there they were. And then you're caught. Then you have to think, what do I say now? And usually the criminal will confess at that point. All right, those are mine. Now, what I taught them to say, Dad, show mercy. Remember, you love me unconditionally. You remember that? You taught that. I'm just using your own words. So you could spank me, but that wouldn't change my heart. You remember you taught that? Therefore, I ask for mercy, and I won't do it again. Wow, that's awesome. That is an awesome thing to say. I dearly, truly appreciate that you're not going to do it again. You'll never eat a piece of candy. Is that what you're saying? You'll never eat a piece of candy again till you're 87? So at that point, we show mercy. How many know that God is not mad? If he wants to call eating candy, which he said not to do, is not a sin in the Father's sight, he has the right to do it. I gave the law. I can also give a new heart. I can actually not only forgive, but I could actually help to train, and I could actually help to perfect the person that I'm talking to, if I'm a father. Am I an unconditionally loving father? Now, I have the right to spank, because spanking is sometimes the best thing to do, especially for young children. But as we get older, it doesn't work. Or as David did, he's not here, so he can't defend himself. He used to put a lot of books in his pants so that when I spanked him, he would cry, but it was completely fake. And he was so good. Dad, I'm sorry. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I mean it. You know, but he knew he was going to get his spanking, so he had all those books in his pants. But I didn't know they did that. I never did. He later confessed. Oh, yeah, we used to put books in our pants and everything. Dad never did. Don't get this idea, guys. Now, what kind of God do we have? What kind of father do we have? Are we going to build this broad way or this narrow way, chair 4, 5, and 6? The narrow way is Jesus Christ is the way. Not Buddha, not Muslim, not any religion that has you under a law. The only reason you get a chair 2 is because of the law. If there were no law, little kids will just sin. So the only reason that people sin is because there's a law. In other words, morality produces hypocrisy. Because someone will say, but I did right. I did wrong. Yeah, but we're not talking about do. We're talking about whether you did the do from your heart. Did you really want to obey me and please me, and can I trust you from this day forward never to violate my word again? You see, that's the kind of negotiation I want to have. Not just stop the behavior. I don't want to stop the behavior. I want to change the heart. Did you see what I just said? So by my forgiving and loving, I want that, not that I have in mind, oh, then she'll keep the law. I want her to say, then Dad and I will be on talking terms and fellowship together. No guilt. Without guilt for what you've done. How many know that God teaches us that he doesn't hate you when you sin. He hates the sin and separates you. God loves the sinner who did the sin, but hates the sin. What he wants you to do then is say, I did do it, but show me mercy. Just that. That would be called repentance. And that would lead to faith, and that would lead to submission to his lordship, and that would lead to being the bride of the bridegroom and being a love for others, because Jesus doesn't need your love in terms of action. He wants you to do it because it's not you. You died in chair five. What God wants is not for you to learn to behave in chair five. I believe in Jesus, now I'm going to do his will. No. What he wants is for you to be dead till there's nothing left of you. I mean nothing. So chair five is the key to chair six. As soon as you're dead, that is crucifixion of the flesh, that is you taking up your cross daily to follow him, not legalistically, but from the heart. Because truly, you meditate on the fact that God did not kill me in the garden. They did not die. Adam lived 930 years. Even under the 1,000-year program, Adam didn't die because he believed that God was good and merciful. And he thought about that for 930 years. It's like, you know, that's not bad for day you die thing. That's good. I like that interpretation. So he thought about that and he liked that idea. So it will not surprise me that Adam is in heaven. And Eve as well, the one who started everything. That was a joke. That was a sin on my part. Now, so how many know that we're all equal? There is nobody a better sinner than you. Or a worse sinner than you. We're all equal in that. Because the standard is narrow. No spot, no wrinkle, no such thing. Personally and as a church. Wow, I mean, that's kind of high. That would be like nobody can get in. So what we have to do is appeal to his mercy. That's why his mercies are new every morning, even for Christians. Even for those that are being discipled. Even for those that are already mature. A disciple, when he's fully taught by the master, will be like the master, Christ-like, not in heaven, on earth. Not in heaven. So that men, when they see your good works, six, there aren't any works in four, there are no works in five, but only six. That's the only thing men can see. They can't see your heart. God judges the heart. They can't even see your soul. Only God knows your soul. You can try to get out, try to deduce from what they did what they're really thinking and feeling and wanting, but you still don't know. You cannot psychologize. I know today everybody's into psychology. That's just witchcraft to me. Total witchcraft to God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, the old has passed away. So there's no psychology there. And we regard no one from a human point of view. That's psychology. That's philosophy. That's a human point of view. We're not humanists. We don't build on the shifting sand of human nature. We build on this new one. So you build your house upon the rock. Now, listen carefully to this scripture.
Don't worry about time.
You have all day to listen. Enter at the straight gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the way. And narrow is the way. I am the way. I am the door. I am the path. Which leadeth to life. And few be there that find it. In other words, not everybody. Beware of false teachers, false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So the problem of hypocrisy is that you dress up like a lamb, but you're still within a devouring wolf. Now, many a marriage has been wrecked over this. Many a relationship has been destroyed over this because people expect that if I behave well, that means I'm actually doing it from the heart. But it's not. And so many times when we say I do or I will or we're friends forever, that can be broken because people are sinful. I don't know if you know it, but most people that get married are sinful. I don't know if you know that. And you can marry a person and be deceived. I won't go into my story because I don't want to expose all things, but I'm not afraid to. But you can actually be completely disillusioned, like here was mine, that once you get married, everything changes. And the person that's called the head will be the head. And the person that's called the submitted one will submit to the head. I don't know, I had that idea. But within 2 hours, I knew that Peggy had no ears. I knew she could not hear what I was saying to her as the boss, the head, the leader, the ruler, God's man. I just knew she was not going to listen to me any more than when we dated. I had 5 years of dating. I should have realized that just the ceremony wouldn't have changed that, but I did not. I thought, you know, right now she's not doing everything I say, and she doesn't take me seriously at all. But when we get married, then it'll be complete union. It'll be awesome. Isn't that powerful? Don't you think that's neat? I mean, everything will just change because suddenly she'll be in love, and it'll just, she'll just, yes, sir, yes, anything you say, and so on. I really had the wrong idea. Well, for 5 hours driving up to the honeymoon place, the honey was gone and the moon was gone and everything was gone. Because I realized, not that she was wrong, I was wrong. I had the illusion. And now I'm stuck for life with someone that's never going to submit to me. It wasn't that she should or ought to. It's just that that's what I thought. I thought when you got married and I said to her, hey, let's go. I thought she would be, yeah, let's get out of here. Let's be with you. What a fool I was. Then I realized after the third time of telling her, Peck, we need to go right now. It takes 5 hours to get there, and I don't want to get there when it's dark. Let's go now. And she looked at me, and her eyes kind of glazed over, or however they were, but she did not hear me even the third time. It's okay, all right. You know, it's like there was no joy in that at all. It wasn't joyful. Yes, let's be together. It's more like, I need to talk to some more people here. And of course she did. She was right and I was wrong. But I had that in my mind and I was losing now my whole joy. My joy was just draining from me. Like, because I had plans. I had ideas because this was something new, you know, being married. And all the plans went out. I had no plans, no more. We're not going to have a prayer before and dedicate to God. I'm not doing any of that. This thing is over. I don't like this thing. Do y'all see what I'm saying? And so that was the end of it right there. But I learned how to love unconditionally and how to die in chair five. That's 25 years. I had to punish her for 25 years for that. Did you know that I even hid it from myself? Because I did not realize I was punishing her. But I absolutely was. It was delicious to me. Vengeance is mine, saith Jim. Did y'all see that? Yeah. Did you know that people can do that? Even when they say, no, I forgive you. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. But that's just talk. But deep down inside, it's like, you cannot defy me like that. You are the wife submitted. But how many know I lost? I just lost. It was like all my manhood was gone. It was just like, there was no head thing. Whatever head meant, I did not know what it meant. Because now I've learned, but it took me a long time to learn that. What the head meant was servant. I didn't know that. I thought head was head. I thought the head governed. I thought that was a good thing to get. I could hardly wait to be married, and now she'll do what I say. It didn't happen. Did you learn that? Yeah. Has he been perfect? See? She said he was. It's kind of faded away. But yours has been different, right? Yeah. So anyway, we can see that it works. Because after all, it doesn't take but 25 years to teach a man. That's all. Especially with Jesus in the picture. You know, it worked out because you have to stick it out. You have to stick it out. But God is after all of us to die. So Jesus is the enter at the narrow gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Only Jesus gets in. Only Jesus can change you. Only Jesus can break a man. Have you ever tried to control a man? They're uncontrollable. I would not submit to her no matter what. And one thing I would never do, ever say I'm sorry. I would never say that. And one day I was sitting in the back in David's old bedroom, we've now commanded the whole house because our kids are gone. So now, but in his old bedroom, I was sitting back there. And go tell your wife, we just had a little argument. Go tell your wife you're wrong and you're sorry. And she was right. Say that. I'm not going to say that. I said to God, I'm not going to say that. You're a Christian. I know I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to say that. I've never said that. I'm not about to say that. Those are very powerful words back to God. Because I can punish him, you know. I won't pray. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'll look sad for months. You know, I can get him good. But anyway, so God let that pass. Just like with Adam and Eve, he let that pass. He didn't say anything, but he just then repeated it about, you know, 2 minutes later. I want you to go out right now and just say that. You were right, Peggy. I was wrong. Forgive me. I cannot. I can say it. I'll say it as a hypocrite. I'm not going to say that. I will not say that. I'll laugh. I'll say it and laugh. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. That'd be the death of me. That was a little program. Get me to be a Christian, and the next thing you do is kill me. And so I remember I walked down the hall trying to get out of it and so on and so forth. But I knew what God said. So this is how I did it. I've explained this before, but she was in the den. And I just quickly walked around the corner like this. Peg, you were right. I was wrong. God forgive me. And I did not want to stay because I was devastated because I never said those words. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want her to get an edge on me. Do y'all see that? Now, what God was teaching me, and as I walked down the hall, I thought, you know what? That wasn't horrible. That was a good thing to do. But I died that minute. I no longer was going by my emotions, my thoughts, my desires, my will. I was now going by his word. That's the rock. So chair 4 is the rock, the narrow way, and then he's going to remove everything that's not built on that rock in chair 5. Until Jim is gone. It is not just building me up in Christ. He's destroying my old edifice, my old building, my old Jim. Till there is no Jim left. Did you see that? I want you to love your wife 6. Unconditionally, no conditions. She can do everything wrong. I want you to treat her like I treated Adam and Eve. And he allowed Eve, in Hebrew, to be the mother of all living. And he allowed Adam to give her that name. In other words, there's hope in that name. Because instead of dying, she's going to be the mother of all living. Now, she doesn't bring forth the Messiah, but she does bring forth, and eventually the Messiah would come out of her seed. So Mary would be the actual one chosen thousands of years later. But Mary would be the one that God used, not Joseph. Do you see that? Not Joseph. Adam and Eve weren't born of woman. So when Jesus was born, he was not born of man. But he was born of woman because he was the redeemer of the woman. Do you all see that? So he changed the whole equation that the light came into the world through the woman. The hope came through the woman and her seed and what would come from that. So what God wants to do is then take out all the darkness in chair 5. I forgive it in chair 4, but I don't remove it until chair 5. When it isn't your sins that are forgiven, it's yourself that's being totally destroyed because a new self is being put in you. As you're filled with the Spirit, you're emptied of you. Filled with the Spirit, emptied of you. If you fill something, that would mean you emptied something. So it's your emptied that is the result of his filling. When the Spirit comes in, the flesh goes out. No more Jim. Because all I was, even though I was forgiven, I still had flesh. Even though I had a new heart, I did not have a new soul. I did not have a new life. That is evident, obvious, open. There are 3 Greek words for the 3 chairs. The first word is dikaiosune, which means passive, that what Jesus died on the cross, he did for you. The next one is hagios, which means you're being sanctified, but it isn't Jesus who died for you, passive. It's you who die, active. So that you're actually willing to die. You exercise your will. I agree to this. I can't make myself die, but I agree to die. I am not good apart from Christ because I can't do anything in six. So that word is hagios. So dikaiosune or dikaios, and then hagios. And the last word is doxa, which is like our word doxology. That's the outward. So spirit, soul, body. 4, 5, 6. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. We are to live out of the holy of holies. The church, now we're not talking about an individual. We're talking about a church should be the holy of holies where God dwelleth. You know, where does he dwell? In the praises of his people. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, then into his courts with praise, then into his holy of holies with total love, adoration. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Now, when you do that personally, that builds our church because we come in one by one as individuals. Every rock is tied to Jesus, the cornerstone, 4. Everything in 5 depends on him chipping away at my rock until I am completely in line with his rock. Because he's the rock, I'm not. But he has to chip off all of the parts that don't fit in with Jesus. So spirit and soul, and then that will produce the new man. So I'm born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Now, that is God's will and desire. Jesus is not only the way, Jesus is not only the truth, Jesus is everything. He is the tree that produces the fruit, which is us. He is the builder that builds the house, which is us. He is the rock underneath the house. Everything that Jesus is doing in this pericope, which means this story in the Sermon on the Mount, 7 of them. Jesus is everything. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of all. And it closes with this. Not only is he the gate and the way, not only is he then the tree, not only is he the Lord of all, not only is he the Son of God, not only is he not a sheep in wolf's clothing, but he is also the wise man that builds the rock, but he's also, and this is the last one, teaching them, so he's the teacher, with authority. No one else ever taught with authority like that man. So he is the only authority in all the earth. Buddha, no. Muslim, no. All these other religions are wrong because they're trying to get chair one to become chair two. That's as high as their religion could get. Fake, phony, lie. Man at his best state. Man at his best state, altogether vanity. We are not trying to get people to behave. It wouldn't do any good, but we're not trying that. So in this church, we're happy all the time. And what comes out of it then is since you're not under a law, you have no excuse or you're not, you know, I couldn't help it. Of course you could help it. You could either be one or two. In other words, you can either be a sinner or you could be a sinner. So you get those choices. But the one sinner confesses, I am a sinner. God forgive me. The other sinner says, I didn't do anything. And they cover themselves with fig leaves. They have stories. That's the group you cannot reach. You can reach the other group, but I'll tell you what will reach them. When they see number one going to Jesus, number four, that's when they're convicted. Wow. He was rotten to the core. I behaved myself. How many know that religious people are impressed when sinful people say they're forgiven and they love Jesus and they're going to heaven and they're happy and they're producing fruit? They hate that. How did he? I don't even want to go to heaven. I don't even want to be in heaven with her, with him. That person is evil, ugly, nasty, horrible. Rebelled against God, and then God lets him in. I hate that. That's the older brother. Remember the one brother said, I'll go into the vineyard, and never did. The other brother said, I ain't going in. a chair one, sinful person, wicked. I'm not doing that. But the other one said, I'll do it. Dad, don't worry about it. I'll do it. I'll do what you're supposed to do, what you ought to do, what you should do. I'll do it. Look at that other nothing. That one, not going to do it. But I'll do it for you, Father. And the father was very pleased with that son until it turned out that the son who said no did it and the son who said yes didn't. Which one, Jesus said, was the true son? One was the true son. The sinner that rebelled, did nothing that God said, did everything God said not to do, that's the one he forgave, and that's the one he took in. Only a sinner can repent. The self-righteous can never repent. Why? Because they're already innocent. Don't think, Jesus said, I came for the righteous. That is, the self-righteous. In other words, nobody is without me. For me, you can do nothing. So there are no righteous. But don't think I came for the righteous. There aren't any. Two is not righteous. It's just a one faking. Hypocrite, liar, phony, fake. I came for the sinner who repents. What is repent? Metanoia, Greek language. Meta means change. Noia comes from the word nous, means your mind. Change your mind. In other words, you don't know good and evil. Change your mind. Because what is evil actually could become good because of God. And what is evil might not be evil in God's sight if you let God do it. And you live by His word, that's the righteousness He's looking for. Not the righteousness where you did it. He doesn't want you to do it. He doesn't want you to look like number two, which is faking it because it's not from the heart. He actually calls that not righteous at all. In fact, He spews that out of His mouth. He wants you to be a sinner from the heart, no apology, and that's the one He'll come to. Forgive, you change your mind, you decide that God does love sinners after all. Because the other people, they hate me. I hate myself. God loves me just the way I am, without one plea. And I'm going to build my whole hope, my faith, my hope, 4-5, and my love, I'm going to build all of that on Jesus and His righteousness. His righteousness now becomes mine. I borrow that, then I myself die, and then He lives through me. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me because He loves me. That love perfects itself from 4 to 5 to 6, holy, holy, holy. Kabod, kabod, kabod. Those three holies are from the outer court into the holy place because it's all one. In Hebrew, it's all one word. In the Greek, it's divided. Because there are actually three stages, but it's one thing. So it is being separated, made holy unto God. So it's all holy, 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 grace, 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 love, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. Whatever word you want to use, that's what redemption is. Redemption is not four. Redemption is begun in four. But it continues through 5. Not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. But Jesus said, the work I began in you. Remember, you're the house and He's the builder? You're not the builder. You're not the tree. You're not the way. You cannot do it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, you can do all things. Get in me. Then let me get in you. And then let us together love. Because you are a vessel for me to live through and glorify myself so that men give the glory to the Father in heaven, not to you that did it. Because you didn't did it. It actually was He doing it with you, joining Himself to you. That's what's marvelous. That's why they marvel. Not that you did a work, because hypocrites can do works. But that was God favoring, indwelling, living in, making you His eternal temple forever. That's why they glorify the Father. Wow. Why would the Father live in a sinner and then have any hope that that sinner would change and then have any thought that they could then produce and do the will of God so He could come back and say, well done, good and faithful servant. So I did do it, but He actually did it. But I actually did it. But we both did it. That's the mystery of the gospel. That's the mystery of righteousness versus the mystery of iniquity, the broad way. This is the narrow way. and this is the way God has chosen for you. He redefines the word day. He redefines the word evil. He redefines the word sin. He redefines all terms according to his own pleasure. He reserves to himself the right to forgive a sinner, then to change the sinner, transform them into his likeness and image, and then to marry that sinner, to adopt, to birth. He does it all so that you are definitely a Christian in this world, not the next. In this world, not the next. You'll have 1,000 years before you actually live in eternity with God. You'll have 1,000 years on the earth to prove that those works that you do were Jesus, because he lived in Jerusalem and he was indwelling in the midst of his people. That hasn't yet happened. We're going to go to Israel. We're going to go to Israel in a few weeks. Why? Because I want to go there before all kinds of things happen, before the millennium, because that's going to be our home on earth, but not our eternal home, 4,000 years, so that the world may see you were wrong. You could have gotten righteousness. You could have been with us. They'll hate us. They will not love us. Many, however, will turn at the last minute to God. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Means they have a decision. And some will go with us. Some will go with the enemy. They'll surround the camp after the 1,000 years is up, hoping to destroy hope forever, hoping to destroy love forever, hoping to destroy faith forever. But you cannot destroy faith, hope, and love. But love is the greatest of the three. Six is the chair we're after. How many are already perfect? You're already in chair six. One, two, three. All right. Now, I know you raised your hand based upon faith. That not that you are sitting in chair six, but that Jesus, who began a good work, he will keep his promise. He cannot lie. That is the power, that his righteousness was always a gift. His righteousness was never a work. There is no law. God's never had a law. Not that law of sin and death, but the law of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free. That tree of life came out to be a rock for us so that we could enter into the narrow gate. That's why he said, enter ye in through the narrow gate, through the straight gate, through the restricted gate. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. This is righteousness for anybody here. Whatever sins you've committed, they're forgiven. But that's not the biggest joy. The second biggest joy is not only are they forgiven in chair four, they're removed in chair five in this world now. But you'd have to submit to that, not just believe in it, but submit to it. And then if you submit to it, you will be sitting in chair six. That's what God is looking for, those that will actually do the work and the will and the pleasure of God. So, see, his good work in you, with you, together, one. Then they'll know, wow, how could God use you? How could God do that? There's no God like that. There's no other God that could do that. That is the good news. So I hope you're all blessed. I hope you realize that he's not done with you yet. You're a work in progress. And some of you are barely out of chair three, just touching over there to chair four. But others of you are already on the edge of chair four, about to be a disciplined, discipled, killed person, come and die. And then after that, you resurrect in chair six. You cannot be resurrected in six until you're dead in five. Death precedes resurrection. But we believe in the resurrection in chair four. Let us actually practice it in chair six. May God have all the glory. Amen.